Llama Llama Mother's Day present. It is almost Mother's Day. All of Llama Llama's friends have made big plans to celebrate. Luna created a special card. Nellie planned a day outside. Gilroy is writing a story. And Euclid is making an Eiffel Tower out of toothpicks. You all have such good ideas, Llama Llama says. I want to make my mama's Mother's Day amazing too. He decides to make Mama a breakfast of all her favorite foods and bring it to her in bed. Her friends agree that this is a good idea. Llama Llama visits his grandparents. They help him practice making and serving pancakes. Breakfast in bed, says Llama Llama, presenting the plate to Grandma. Mmm, Grandma says, taking a bite. Delicious. Llama Llama tells them about the rest of his Mother's Day plans. First, Mama and I will build a fort. Then we'll go on the slip and slide, make pizzas, go to the playground, and it will be so fun, he says. Grandma Llama laughs. She points out that those are Llama Llama's favorite things, not Mama's. Llama Llama needs to come up with a new plan. The next day, Llama Llama sees his friends at school. He tells them about his secret mission to find out things his mother likes. If I watch and listen very closely, he explains, I'll know exactly what Mama wants for Mother's Day. Like a spy, says Gilroy Goat. Llama Llama's teacher, Zelda Zebra, has a special plan too. With Mother's Day coming up, she says, I have a class gift for us to create for your moms. She explains that they will be making a class quilt together, with each student designing their own square. Llama Llama and his friends get to work. When Llama Llama gets home that day, he follows his mother around the house. He listens to everything she says and looks for clues as to what she would like for Mother's Day. Some cut flowers would look lovely right here, she says. I do like paddle games and lemonade and gardening, she continues. I love pancakes, she exclaims on the phone. Pancakes, Llama Llama whispers to himself. I knew it. Now he has lots of ideas for Mother's Day. The night before Mother's Day, Llama Llama sits on his bed and looks at his long list of activities. He has planned so many of Mama's favorite things to do. Sid, he tells his stuffed Llama Fuzzy, every minute is filled up. It will be a perfect Mother's Day for Mama. Hey, where is she? Llama wonders. Llama Llama decides to check on Mama. He hops out of bed and quietly tiptoes downstairs. He overhears his mother on the phone again. Actually, I don't have any Mother's Day plans at all, she tells Mama Nu. A low-key, relaxing Mother's Day sounds pretty perfect. It does, guess Llama Llama shocked. I'll be fine if we do nothing at all, Mama Llama continues. Llama Llama looks at his long list of activities. He doesn't know what to do. He crumples up his paper. The next day, Llama Llama sits at the kitchen table and colors with his stuffed llama. Remember, Fuzzy, he says, we can't make a big deal about Mother's Day. Mama Llama walks into the room with a big smile on her face. Good morning, my little llama, she says. Morning, says Llama Llama. Happy Mother's Day. Mama thinks Llama Llama is going to surprise her by making pancakes, but he just keeps on coloring instead. Mama Llama looks out the living room window. She watches Nellie and Mama Nu rollerblade down the street. She sees Luna give her mom a beautiful card. She hears Gilroy sing a special Mother's Day song. Looks like fun, says Llama Llama's mother. It does, Llama Llama replies, surprised. Mama, I had big plans, too. He tells her what happened. Oh, Llama Llama, she replies, this is so sweet. I didn't know you had big plans for today. Mama Llama takes Llama Llama's hooves in her garden. I'm a very lucky llama, she says. I love you, kiddo. I love you, too, Mama Llama replies. They share a big hug. Can we still do a few things on the list? Llama Llama asks. Mama Llama smiles and nods. Llama Llama jumps up and down. First, Llama Llama makes Mama breakfast in bed. Next, he brings her a big bouquet of flowers. Then they swing together in the sunshine. There's still one more big Mother's Day surprise. Llama Llama and his mother meet all their friends out of school. Happy Mother's Day, everyone, Zelda Zebra says, welcoming them. I'm here to present a very special gift from your children. She unfolds the quilt to reveal all of the special squares made by her students. Llama Llama's square is right on top. This is so beautiful, Mama Llama exclaims. I love it. She gives Llama Llama a big hug. Mama and Llama Llama press their noses together. Thank you, little llama, for the best Mother's Day ever, Mama says. Llama Llama beams proudly. The day had turned out to be perfect after all. Best Place in the World by Peter Horacek. Hare and his friends, the rabbits, were sitting at the top of the hill. They were looking down at their meadow. The meadow was beautiful. "Do you think this is the best place in the whole world?" Hare asked his friends. "Of course it is," said the rabbits. "It's the place where we can run and play together." "But surely we can run anywhere," said Hare. The rabbits didn't hear him. They had already started running. "What do you think?" Hare asked his other friends. "Is our meadow the best place in the world?" "Definitely," said Bear. "But why?" asked Hare. "Because of the bees," said Bear. "And where there are bees, there is honey. I love honey, and most of all, I love sharing it with you." "But bees and honey are everywhere," said Hare. Hare saw the little birds. "What do you think?" he said. "Is our meadow the best place in the whole world?" "Yes," said the little birds. "But why?" asked Hare. "It's surrounded by trees," said the little birds. "We love singing to you from high up." "But there are high trees everywhere," said Hare, and he went to ask Duck. "This is definitely the best place in the world," said Duck. "But why?" asked Hare. "I like swimming in the stream," said Duck. "But there are streams everywhere," said Hare. Still looking for the answer, Hare visited Owl. "Do you think our meadow is the best place in the world?" he asked her. Owl didn't answer. Instead, she said, "You have asked us all this question. Why don't you explore the world and find out for yourself?" The next morning, Hare left home and set out to look for the best place in the world. He soon found himself walking through the most wonderful fields and orchards. The rabbits would like running here. "Maybe this is the best place in the world," said Hare. He saw gushing rivers and waterfalls. "Duck would love swimming here. This could be the best place in the world," said Hare. Hare climbed the mountains. "It's so peaceful here and it's so high. I know the birds would love it," said Hare. "Perhaps this is the best place in the world." Eventually, Hare reached the sea. "The sun is like a pot of honey," he said. "I know that Bear would love it here. This must be the best place in the world." After traveling all over the world, Hare came to the desert. He lay down and looked at the stars above. He thought about Owl and all the beautiful places he had been. He felt lonely. Suddenly, he knew the answer to his question. He jumped up and ran through the desert, over the hills, up the mountains, across the fields, through the woods, all the way home. Because the best place in the world is where your friends are. The Berenstain Bears and Too Much Pressure by Stan and Jan Berenstain. If someone were to ask you who Bear Country's busiest creatures are, you might answer that bees are the busiest. They gather nectar and pollen, make honey, guard the hive, and do all the other things that have earned them the title Busy Bees. Or you might answer that beavers are the busiest. They fell trees, make dams, and build lodges with secret underwater entrances. There's no question about it. Beavers are certainly busy. But if you were to answer bears, bees, or beavers, you would be wrong. Because the busiest creatures in Bear Country lately are none other than our friends, the bear family. The bears haven't always been so busy. They used to do the things that most families do. They worked and played, went to school, visited friends, enjoyed nature, and once in a while they just sat around and did absolutely nothing. The bears hadn't planned on becoming so busy. It sort of sneaked up on them. First, there was Brother Bear and the Little League. Then Sister Bear got bitten by the ballet bug and started ballet class. When her best friend Lizzie Bruin started riding lessons, Sister just had to take that up too. And Brother wasn't about to be left out of something as exciting as horseback riding. That's how it was with the other activities. As soon as one of the cub's friends signed up for something, Brother and Sister had to sign up too. Before anyone thought to say enough is enough, they were also signed up for swimming, gymnastics, soccer. Soccer's how we get our kicks. Karate, art, I call it flower with drips, and computer club. Talk about busy. Mama or Papa Bear had to drive Brother and Sister to all those activities. Things got so complicated that Mama had to make a big schedule to keep things straight. Papa hung it on the wall. The schedule was especially difficult on Friday, and today was Friday. Will somebody answer the phone? Called Mama after the fourth ring. I'm busy getting things out of the freezer for tonight's dinner. Can't right now, shouted sister from upstairs. I'm getting ready for ballet. Me neither, yelled brother. I'm getting on my baseball stuff. Since Papa was out working on the car, Mama had to answer the phone. She reached it by the seventh ring. It seemed a lot longer to Gran on the other end. Hello, said Mama. Hello, dear, said Gran. Is everything all right? You sound a little breathless. Just a little, said Mama. I was in the kitchen getting dinner out of the freezer. The Cubs are upstairs getting dressed for ballet and baseball, and Papa. But before she'd explain about Papa, her shoulder bag got tangled in the phone cord, which pulled the phone down with a clunk. What happened? Shouted Gran. That was an awful clunk. It was just the phone falling. Was there anything special, Gran? What Mom didn't explain was that when she stopped to pick up the phone, her hat fell off, and when she reached for it, she tripped over the cord and was now sitting in a tangled heap on the floor. I was just calling to invite you all to dinner sometime soon, said Gran. Love to, Gran, but we're on our way out right now, so let me check our schedule and get back to you. Fine, said Gran after a pause. Well, goodbye. Mama, said sister, what are you doing sitting on the floor playing with the phone cord? Come on, we're going to be late. Drop me off first, shouted brother on the way to the car. No, me first, cried sister. No, me, cried brother. When Papa tried to explain what had been wrong with the car, the spark plugs needed cleaning, Mama shouted, not near there, and roared off, leaving him in a cloud of dust. Well, Gran said as she hung up the phone, there certainly is a lot going over at the treehouse. That's the way young folks are, said Gramps. They like to get out and do things. Well, while I was a young feller. Doing is one thing, said Gran. Overdoing, she added with a sigh, is something else again. If Papa could have heard Gran, he surely would have agreed. There was too much going on, too much coming and going, too much rushing about, too much pressure. The Bears family schedule was becoming a nightmare, as it turned out, a whole series of nightmares. The Cubs had planned to watch some TV that evening, but they were so stiff and tired, sister from ballet, brother from baseball, that they went to bed early, fell asleep, and dreamed. Sister dreamed she was on a strange sort of merry-go-round, a merry-go-round of activities which went round and round and round. She wanted to get up, but no matter how hard she tried, she couldn't. Brother had a dream, too. He dreamed he was caught up in an enormous whirlwind of baseballs, soccer balls, and computers. Papa dreamed he was trapped on a magic carpet that was zooming into a deep black hole. Only it wasn't a magic carpet, it was that awful schedule from the wall. Mom didn't have a nightmare. The reason was she didn't fall asleep all night. She lay awake staring into the darkness, wondering how she was going to get through the next day. After a quick breakfast, Mama packed a lunch for Papa, who headed for some work in the forest. Then she shooed the Cubs into the car. Hurry, she said. We have a difficult day ahead of us. There's art class, soccer, karate, and swimming, and we've got to squeeze in lunch and shopping. They climbed into the car, and she turned the key. But the engine wouldn't start. She tried again, but it still wouldn't start. Please, Mama shouted, brother. Our karate instructor is very strict about being late. And the soccer coach is worse, yelled sister. Mama tried again and again. Please, Mama, they screamed, jumping up and down in the back seat. But no matter how hard she tried, the car just would not start. Then Mama did something the Cubs had never seen her do before. She started to cry. Big, wet tears rolled down her cheeks. The Cubs forgot karate and soccer and everything else except that their Mama was crying. What's the matter? Asked Brother. Tell us, please, begged Sister. But Mama just went boo-hooing up the front steps and into the house. Go get Papa, Sister, said to Brother. I'll stay with Mama. Sister followed Mama up to her room, where she fell on the bed sobbing. It was all Sister could do to keep from crying herself. It's Mama, you gotta come, shouted Brother as he reached Papa's workplace in the woods. He told Papa what happened. Papa could see that he was upset about Mama crying. Everybody cries once in a while, Sonny said. Even you? Asked Brother. Sometimes, said Papa. The problem with the car is those spark plugs. We probably need new ones, but the real problem is this schedule of ours. I know Mama didn't sleep well last night worrying about it. I didn't sleep too well either. I had this awful dream, admitted Brother. That makes two of us, said Papa. Sister had one too, said Brother, as they reached the treehouse. Mama stopped crying, announced Sister, as Papa and Brother came upstairs. That's right, Mama said, smiling through the few last tears. There's nothing like a good cry sometimes. And there's nothing like a little common sense about too much pressure, said Papa. So the Bears had a family meeting right there and then. The Cubs agreed that two after-school activities a week were more than enough. Brother chose baseball and computer club. Sister chose ballet and horseback riding. True, they lost their title, the busiest family in Bear Country, but they went back to having a very good time doing the everyday things that most families do. They worked and played, went to school, visited friends, enjoyed nature, and once in a while they sat around doing absolutely nothing. Quiet by Tommy DePella. My, oh my, the grandfather said, everything is in such a hurry. The birds are flying so fast. And our dog is rushing after the ball, said the girl. I see a frog jumping high in the pond, said the boy, and a dragonfly zooming over the water. Even the trees are waving their leaves. Busy as busy can be. Let's not be so busy. Why don't we sit here, you next to me? The birds are just like us, taking a rest, singing their song. Our dog is tired. I think he's dreaming. The frog is sitting and blinking. The dragonfly has stopped beating its wings. Let's be quiet, like all of our friends, quiet and still. I can think when I'm quiet. I can see when I'm still. To be quiet and still is a special thing. Bunny in the Middle by Annika Denise. When you're in the middle, you're not the oldest and you're not the youngest. You are right in between. There's always someone bigger who helps you, and someone smaller who needs you. When you're in the middle, you know when to hold on, when to let go, and how to solve sticky situations. When you're in the middle, sometimes you lead, sometimes you follow, and sometimes you go your own way. Being in the middle isn't always easy. You get hand-me-down everything, and you never get your own room. But that's okay, because when you're in the middle, you're not too small for the big stuff and not too big for the small stuff. But the best part of middle is you are loved all around. The Book with No Pictures by B.J. Novak. This is a book with no pictures. It might seem like no fun to have someone read you a book with no pictures. It probably seems boring and serious. Except, here's how books work. Everything the words say, the person reading the book has to say. No matter what. That's the deal. That's the rule. So that means even if the words say, blork, wait, what? That doesn't even mean anything. Blurf. Wait a second. What? That isn't the kind of book I wanted to read. And I have to say every word the book says. Uh-oh. I am a monkey who taught myself to read. Hey, I'm not a monkey. And now I am reading you this book with my monkey mouth and my monkey voice. That's not true. I'm not a monkey. Yes, I am a monkey. Also, I am a robot monkey. What? And my head is made of blueberry pizza. Wait a second, is this whole book a trick? Can I stop reading, please? No. And now it's time for me to sing you my favorite song. A song? Do I really have to sing a glug, 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 my face is a bug. I eat ants for breakfast right off the rug. What? This book is ridiculous. Can I stop reading yet? No, there are more pages. I have to read the rest. My only friend in the whole wide world is a hippo named Boo Boo Butt. Boo Boo Butt? And also, the kid I'm reading this book to is the best kid ever in the history of the entire world. Oh, really? And this kid is the smartest kid, too, because this kid chose this book, even though it had no pictures. Because kids know this is the book that makes grown-ups have to say silly things and make silly sounds like Oh no, here it comes. Glerkawoko, my grandpa do. Ay, brug, brug, brug. Oof, eemph. Blaggity, blaggity, clippity, cloppity, clippity, cloppity, cloppity, clippity, beep, boop. Badongy face. Oh my goodness. Please don't ever make me read this book again. It is so silly. In fact, it's completely and utterly preposterous. Next time, please, 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 please choose a book with pictures. Please, because this is just too ridiculous to read. The end. Bunk. I didn't want to say that. Take your pet to school day. Maple View School, 123 School Road, 123456790. Dear students, at Maple View, we have a rule you cannot bring your pets to school. But for just one special day, we've decided it's okay to bring your bunny, bird, or dog, your lizard, turtle, fish, or frog. So this Friday, don't forget, we'll see you and your favorite pet, Maple View School. It's Friday here at Maple View. The students file in two by two with books and bags and pets in tow, above, ahead, beside, below. They start the day off with a song. The pets attempt to sing along. They howl with gusto, bleat with glee. They shriek, they squeak, they're way off key. Enough, says Mr. Paul. It's clear these animals should not be here. Now, why would someone change this rule? Pets do not belong in school. It's story time. The pets pile in. Ms. Libby, the librarian, begins to read but can't be heard above the din of beast and bird. They interrupt with barks and quacks. They hide in nooks. They climb the stacks. Miss Libby sighs. It's very clear these animals should not be here. Now, why would someone change this rule? Pets do not belong in school. She shoos them out and off they go to Mr. George's studio. He tells the class, we'll paint today. The art show is a week away. The paints aren't neat. They do not share. Paint is splattered everywhere, says Mr. George. It's very clear these animals should not be here. Now, why would someone change this rule? Pets do not belong in school. Time for snack. The pets won't sit. They slurp and burp and drool and spit, rudely chomping, loudly chewing, smacking, grunting, gobbling, spewing. The principal is in a huff. Miss Ellen hollers, that's enough. This is not the way we eat. Please settle down and take a seat. She looks around. It's very clear these animals should not be here. Now, why would someone change this rule? Who said pets could come to school? The teacher shrugged. Don't know, not me. They don't belong here, we agree. Then Lucy whispers in her ear, you said we could. Just look, right here. Miss Ellen says, for goodness sake, this isn't mine. There's some mistake. Who wrote this note? Speak up right now. All is quiet then. Meow. We do not like your no pets rule. We miss our kids when they're at school. We thought it would be okay to come to school. It's just one day. Love the pets. They wait in silence. Still polite. She hems. She haws. She says, all right, but only if you clean up this mess and behave your very best. The pets agree. They scrub with care. They go to class, take turns and share. They follow rules and listen well. They help with math and show and tell. The school bell rings. It's time to go. The kids depart with pets in tow. Miss Ellen breathes a weary sigh. Good work, she says. Good job. Goodbye. Maple View School. Dear students, at Maple View, we've had a rule you cannot bring your pets to school. But your friends have been so good, we've decided that you should. So pack your hedgehogs, hounds, and mice, your cats and goats and snakes, if nice. We love your pets, so it's okay to bring them each and every day. Maple View School.